Hey, hey, and welcome back to the podcast. This is your host, Kristen. Today, we're going to dig into why it's so important for us to socialize, why it's so important for us to do hard, challenging things, and why it is important for us to have new experiences. We're diving into all of this because we're talking about our brains and why, if we don't do these things, our brain shrinks, we can have memory loss, Alzheimer's sooner. So this is what we're going to dig into in just a minute. Have you ever imagined building a life you love but got stuck in between the what-ifs, expectations, and obligations in your life? Welcome to Building a Life You Love, the podcast dedicated to helping you step into a life where your passion blossoms from within, your faith deepens, and simplicity becomes your favorite synonym for everyday life. Hi, I'm your host, Kristen, an encourager, a faith-led entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife. Join me each week as we dive into creating positive habits, stepping out of your comfort zone, making space for meaningful work and relationships. I'm going to bring you practical tips, uplifting conversations, and expert guidance that you can use. So why wait? Step off the path of expectations and into a space that feels genuinely yours. Subscribe now to Building a Life You Love, and let's begin this transformative journey together towards joy, peace, and purpose. All right, we're going to dig into a few things that can have a big impact on our brain health. And if we, as we age, we're going to have good memory, if we're going to have, or if we're going to have memory loss, or what's going to happen to us. And so I'm going to share a couple ideas with you and a couple studies that I think you're really going to get something out of that you can apply to your own life. So I just want to start by saying, if we can all remember back to when the COVID lockdowns were happening, I'm sure you can, it wasn't that long ago. And so many of us, you know, kind of halted what normal life had looked like. We maybe didn't go out as much. We did less social things. Some people did no social things, right? They literally stayed in their houses and they didn't really leave unless it was something like having to get groceries. But let's be honest, a lot of people used Instacart and other things to get their groceries. So the whole world became more isolated and we stopped challenging ourselves. A lot of people, you know, people weren't allowed to go to the gyms. In a lot of areas, you weren't even allowed to go on walks, you know, and through your neighborhood, or you couldn't walk on the beach. So we were basically, one, we were in a state of fear, and we're going to talk about what that can do to our brains. Two, we were isolated from other people, so we weren't being as social. Three, we weren't, for a lot of us, we weren't challenging ourselves in new ways. And then the fourth is that many of us were spending even more time doing things like watching Netflix or being on our devices, because we didn't have anywhere to be. Now, of course, a lot of us, you know, if you had kids at home, you might have been busy with the kids, or there are things some people were doing, like starting gardens or a new hobby or even a business. But this is kind of what was at play. Now, I was fortunate in that during COVID, I still had a great group of friends, especially ones that live nearby. We still were able to get together, even if it was outdoors. We would still walk together and things like that. So we still had social time. We were still getting out because my area wasn't as locked down as some places. But I want to explain to you some of the things that have gone on, not just because of COVID, but are still go on and how they impact our brain. So the first thing that I want to share with you is there was a study that they did, and they looked at a group of researchers that went to Antarctica and then a control group. In the group that went to Antarctica, they were basically by themselves for the entire duration of the expedition. And it doesn't say how long it was. But what was interesting, the part that's relevant to all of us, is that the group that went on the expedition and was primarily isolated from other people, they were just working, their hippocampus shrunk. And it shrunk by, I think it was something like 7% in a short period of time. It was, you know, months or a year. And the reason this is relevant is our hippocampus does a lot of things, but the main thing that you might think of it is for making memories and then connecting memories to things that happened, events and people and things like that. So what we don't want is for our hippocampus to shrink, right, or to be strained, because that is one of the indicators as we get older, if that keeps happening, is an indication of Alzheimer's. In other words, memory loss. We can't keep all of our memories. It's almost like our operating system isn't quite working properly. And so the first note that I want to make is isolation, right? Not having regular social interactions can actually hurt our hippocampus, and it can hurt our memory-making center of our brain. So that means that we can have more memory loss. And I think that's amazing. And it's something that we all have to think about, because even if we experience another pandemic in the future, it is so important that we have social interaction and that we're not isolated. So we have to do everything in our power, you know, whether it's for a pandemic or as we get older, maybe you have a chronic illness, but we want to make sure that we are finding ways to connect with other people. The studies also say just having deep, meaningful connections with a few people, those people that have those tend to have live longer, more longevity. And so it really is something that we need to prioritize. Okay, the next thing about the hippocampus is that when we are in a state of fear or panic, if you will, what happens is basically it's creating more neuroinflammation. And they say that basically during COVID, but other things can cause it too, you know, things that are fearful or that we're worried are going to happen, even if they don't happen. So kind of like post-traumatic stress disorder, it's similar to that, but this is even if something doesn't happen, but we're so afraid something's going to happen, right? We're in a continuous state of angst or fear. It's called pre-traumatic neurotoxic stress. But when that happens, it basically hurts our brain, and it also can block our hippocampus from growing new cells and then new memories. And so in other words, I don't know if any of you saw this, but I saw this with some people that we know, some relatives of ours, older relatives, through isolation, through the fear, they weren't getting out with friends, right? They were probably watching the news a lot. They actually declined their mental state in just a year or a year and a half, declined greatly. I mean, a huge decline. And so while this didn't happen for everyone, the point is it did impact our hippocampus. And so even before COVID, they were saying that there was more depression, more anxiety, but then once again, this pre-traumatic neurotoxic stress also took a hit on people. And we need our hippocampus to operate properly, or else once again, that can also increase our likelihood of having depression. And so the point being is, one, we need to make sure that we have social connections, that we're not lonely, we're not isolated. That's so important for our brains and just for, you know, our whole well-being. Two is we don't want to get stuck in a state of fear or anxiety or worry and stay at that level. I'm sure you've heard of fight or flight, and it's much like that. If our cortisol levels are staying high, then it's having a greater impact on our whole body, not just our brains, but they're showing besides our body staying in that stressful state, it also hurts our brains, which also can lead to a decline in memory loss much earlier than it should. And so that's another thing to think about, which is we've got to find ways to not let ourselves be overwhelmed by, you know, hard things going on in the world, scary things going on in the world. We want to make sure that we figure ways out to de-stress and to not let ourselves stay in that state. So in other words, find things to be hopeful for, even in the midst of something going on. Find things that we're excited to learn about or excited to do, even if we're stuck at home. And so it's once again so important to understand how what's going on around us impacts our body and it impacts our health. The next thing, though, I want to switch over to is there's something interesting, which is if we don't challenge ourselves, if we don't do new things, if we don't kind of stretch ourselves, it actually also can hurt our brain health. And so I don't know if you guys listen to Huberman Labs, but it's Dr. Andrew Huberman. He has a very well-known podcast, and I think he might be at Stanford, a doctor researcher there. But he was talking about this on an episode I saw recently, and he basically said, when we do something we don't want to do, it grows our interior mid-cingular cortex. And no, I don't know much about that, but the point is that he explains that when we challenge ourselves with something new, something hard, something that we have to overcome, it actually builds up this part of our brain center and it grows. But when we stop doing these things where we have to overcome or we have to do something that we've not done before, that we've challenged ourselves, gone a little further, right? Done something we didn't think we could do or just that took a lot of willpower, then this part of the brain grows, and it's so important. He also explains that This part of our brain, the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, is also considered the seat of our willpower and maybe even the place where we have that will to live. And so what we need to do is we need to keep doing new, harder things. In other words, we don't want to get set in routine, because then that part of our brain doesn't grow, and it most likely shrinking. And so basically, for instance, he gives an example of if you or somebody does cold plunges or cold showers, that's fantastic. But if you've gotten to where, oh, it's easy, it's not a big thing, you're not challenging yourself. So that part of your brain's actually not growing anymore. You need to do something that's maybe scary or hard or challenges you in a different way. Maybe it's a cold plunge in the ocean instead of just jumping in your shower when it's cold. You know, I even thought about it could be when you're making food. A lot of us have the same 10, 20, 30 recipes that we might make on the regular. Some of us might like to make new recipes. But when you challenge yourself for doing some elaborate recipe on occasion, and maybe it's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different dishes you're doing at one time, you're challenging yourself. Like, you might think, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I can get this all done by the time my guests come. You know, that's kind of overcoming doing something you haven't done before. But the reason this is relevant is so many of us have heard about growth mindset. We've heard about the importance of stepping out of our comfort zone. I, of course, talk about that often on this podcast, but there's actually proof. There's information that tells us that when we actually do overcome, when we fight the odds, when we, you know, hike the mountain that we never thought we'd hiked, these actually are helping us be resilient, and it's helping us have a bigger brain. And so once again, if we're not challenging ourselves and we're not getting out there for new experiences, and if we're in a fear state, all of those things are actually harming us, and they're possibly leading us to memory loss and struggling with other brain disorders, or at least brain shrinkage. And I'm sure, like me, we don't want that to happen. And so I thought these were really interesting examples of things that we can do, simple things like get out of our comfort zone, challenge ourselves, and continuously challenge ourselves with something new. And it doesn't have to be the same type of thing, but we just want to be continuously growing and working, you know, to, if you will, better ourselves. But when we do that, it helps all of the parts of our body. It helps our mental health or our brain health, but it also helps our physical health. And, you know, and then that sense of well-being, right? We feel more purpose. We feel more satisfied. And someone else brought up a really good point that I wanted to mention to you, which is that, excuse me, it was, let's see, I think it's Rich Roll. Yeah, he has a podcast. It's called Rich Roll. But he explains that he gets on an airplane, you know, after, you know, his regular week, month, and, you know, you're thinking to yourself, we can all relate to this. He goes on the airplane and he's thinking, oh my gosh, the seat's too small. Oh my gosh, they gave me this tiny bitty, itty bitty bag of peanuts. There's a baby crying. You know, in other words, we're very aware of all the things that maybe irritate us or annoy us with the current flying system, right? He's not wrong. Like, let's be honest, it can take you hours. You can have delays. It can be uncomfortable. It can be loud on the plane. It can be shaky. And so his point is, the fewer problems we experience in life does not make us become more satisfied. And then he goes on to explain that if he had just spent a month on a trip, right, in the outdoors in Antarctica or wherever, and every time you just even have to get food or go to the bathroom, it's quite a effort. It's a challenge. It's not just living in our warm, cozy homes. And he said, after that trip and getting on the flight, everything is like miraculous. Like, oh, this seat is amazing. This little snack that's in a bag, amazing. So in other words, our perspective changes. But the whole point that he's making is just because we think, oh, if I have everything, I have enough money. Oh, if I could just figure this challenge out, if I could just, then everything would be great. But the honest truth is that doesn't make us more satisfied. Actually, like I talked about, having, being able to be resilient, being able to overcome things, figure out how to get through a problem, actually adds to our satisfaction level. It's not because we eliminate all the problems. And also, the perspective matters, right? Like, how are we showing up in our day and how are we showing up in life? What's the perspective we're bringing into the day? Is everything like, oh, this sucks. This person is blocking what I'm trying to do. Man, this person's so irritating. So is everything we're saying, or this plane, oh, I can't stand traveling. It's just such a hassle. And so are we starting out at work on the trip, you know, maybe with our spouse, who, whatever it is, are we starting out from a place where we're already setting the stage for a negative experience? Are we already setting the stage in our mind that it's not going to go well? And, you know, that's something that sometimes journaling helps to kind of assess that, like what's our role and how we're navigating our circumstances and what attitude we're bringing into those circumstances. And, you know, so I think that's really important, right? It's one, we don't want to get rid of our problems. We just want to learn how to overcome, navigate through hard things and realize that there's lessons to be learned. There's appreciation to have when things are actually going well, or we realize, gosh, what a luxury that we get to go on the trip, or what a luxury that we have this warm space, even if it is, you know, stuffy or small, or the trip wasn't perfect. We got there so much quicker than had we been able to drive, right? Or if we didn't have the plane, we might not have been able to get to this other continent. And so much of it has to do with perspective, but we have to be aware of how we're showing up in the world, how we are confronting life and our problems and our mindset and our attitude. Because if we're not, we're just going through life, right? We are being more reactive than proactive. But if we want to live and build a life we love, if we want to thrive as we get older, if we want to step in and have a long life, then we've got to be aware of the small things that we can do to actually let us go through all of our decades and our years. And then as we get older, actually, hopefully in good health, because we're understanding that it's not just about only what we eat. It's not just about taking care of our bodies. We have to take care of our minds. We have to take care of our, you know, our faith practices. We have to take care of our relationships. We have to be true to who we are. We have to feel like we have some purpose in the world. So all these things matter, and we have to do something about these things now or soon. We can't wait until at some point we go, well, now I can't move, I can't walk, and I wish I had done it different. And so I just share some of these little ideas with you about how do we keep our brain healthy with these small things that we can do, because I don't know about you, but to me, they were really interesting. And knowing this kind of stuff helps us try to assess what we're going through and then see what can we do a little bit different to improve our life. And I just want to wrap up today's episode with a quote or two for you. The first one is, there are three solutions to every problem. Accept it, change it, or leave it. If you can't accept it, change it. If you can't change it, leave it. And that was, it just says unknown. So I'm not sure who wrote that. It's hard to find that information online. But that is so important. And I've talked about this with a guest before, but you know, we do have control over what's going on, and we can either, as it says, accept something, you know, or process it, figure out a way to understand something. We can try to change it, you know, or come up with a new option or solution, or we can leave, right? If it's a job, well, you can either try to change it with your workplace or the people you work with, or you can decide to look for a different opportunity if it's not fitting what you need or, you know, where you're currently at in life. All right. The other thing is, if you have a problem that can be solved with action, then you don't have a problem. And I would add that you have inaction. In other words, you don't have a problem if it can be solved for. You just have inaction. In other words, we have to take a step. We have to move forward to try to resolve what we believe to be a problem or what we believe needs work. And so I just want to share this with you, because whether it's thinking that, oh my gosh, I'm scared about what's going on in the world, or whether it's that, you know, we're frustrated about sitting on a plane or whatever it might be, it's so much more about what's going on and how can I deal with this. And most of the time it's through action, right? We can do something about what we're dealing with or how we're showing up in our day or in the world, even by thinking about what's going in our brain. What are we putting in it? What are we filling it with? And are we filling it with fear? Are we filling it with sitting at home and not challenging ourselves? And so all these things we have control over. And so until next time, I hope you have a great week. And don't forget, if you haven't already grabbed my Reignite Your Passion workbook, I think it's about a 30-page workbook that you can download on my site for free. Just go to kristinfitch.com and go to the freebies page, and it's right at the top. But grab that. It's a great resource for you just to dive into what's important to me now. What is it that I want to get or have more of in my life? What is it I need to be telling myself? What do I want to be doing differently? What are the things that are important to me now? You know, and so it's a really good workbook. It's a really good guide to really have you spend some time reflecting on all the things that are important to you and can really let you step into some new things, right? To have new challenges, to step into maybe a dream that you haven't stepped into yet, you haven't taken action on. So that's it. I just want to share that with you as well.
And thanks again for listening in. And if you enjoyed the show, we'd love it if you'd subscribe and leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can check out freebies and resources we have for you at kristinfitch.com. And if you have ideas for the show or guests that you'd like to recommend, I'd love to hear from you. So DM me on Instagram at kristinfitch, or you can email me from the website. Thanks so much. Until next time, have a great week.